It's time.
Yes! Oh my God!
For sports.
Doncic pulls up, three-pointer. Bang! Bang! It's good!
With Drew and Stevie J.
I mean, listen, we talking about
crunch time.
All right, guys, welcome into this Monday edition of Crunch Time with Drew and Stevie J. I'm Drew, no Stevie J this time. You can follow me on Twitter at Uncle Drew WNBA, and you can follow Stevie J at Stevie J PTX. Got a fun-filled show for you guys today. Got a full slate talking some Sulphur Springs Lady Cats basketball. The girls are playing today, as a matter of fact, playing here in just a bit, in 20 minutes or less, as we record this episode. And they have a home game. Well, the game they're playing today is an away game. They have a home game tomorrow against Liberty Isle. So lots of action for the Lady Cats in these next 24 hours. And we're going to, I say we, and I'm going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys' loss to the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday night, and the possible loss of C.D. Lamb going into Thursday's Thanksgiving matchup. I'll briefly preview that as well, as we will not be here for our Thursday edition. Of course, it will be Thanksgiving, so we will be out being thankful for all things that we are thankful for and enjoying time in the holidays as well. I'm going to also talk some Dallas Mavericks, their woes without Luka Doncic, and do a quick Mavs. Well, I'd say, you know, I don't want to do Mavs margin of victory, actually, because no Stevie J, I don't want to make it unfair, so I'll wait for Stevie J to get back. Who knows? We might do it anyway. I'll see what he's got. I might message him along the episode here and see what we got going. But in the meantime, guys, we're going to start things off with some Sulphur Springs Wildcats. Wildcats got some action going on right now. They traveled to Mineola today, JV and varsity playing. We're going to talk about the varsity today. Varsity is going to be tipping off here in just a bit. Varsity Lady Cats in Sulphur Springs this year, without their superstar in Kenzie Willis, who was the MVP of the district last year, and it has really shown for the Lady Cats so far this season. You know, aside from tournament play, which, you know, for the most part, we don't really have those numbers, the Lady Cats, unfortunately, have yet to eclipse 20 points in a ball game this season, really missing that superstar. They've been missing some players early on, so that's a part of it as well. Hopefully, you know, we get some news on whether they have, you know, their full roster ready to go ahead of tomorrow's game. We'll see tomorrow with Coach Deli, Coach Erica Deli, and she is the new head coach out here. We'll see how things are shaping out in that regard. But the Lady Cats are really trying to find their rhythm without their heartbeat, their superstar in Kenzie Willis, who really shook things up throughout the district last year. Coming into the season, you know, I guess they were projecting Kenzie Willis to be back. And I say they, I mean the writers for TABC for, you know, the UIL rankings, projecting the Lady Cats to finish second. You know, I'm not sure how much of a chance they have to do that, because it is a tough test without your superstar. You know, the big superstar goes down and you have to make adjustments. And the Lady Cats will have to make an adjustment to make that possible for this season. But, you know, nothing is impossible. I believe in Coach Erica Deli and what she can form out here. So, you know, she'll give it her all, and we'll see what the Lady Cats can do this season. They do have one of their first home games. It's actually their third, but the first in the afternoon during the day. They're going to be tipping off at 12:45 tomorrow, the Lady Cats will, in Wildcat Gym. So if you're listening to this and you are a Wildcat fan, make sure you head out to Wildcat Gym tomorrow for that home basketball game and pack the stands and give the Lady Cats all the energy possible and support them in their home game, because the Wildcats don't have many, Wildcats and Lady Cats don't have too many home games this offseason, so they could use all the fan support that they can get whenever they're in town playing some basketball. So now we're going to switch gears really quick already and go into some Dallas Cowboys. There's a lot to talk about within the Dallas Cowboys. It was not a pretty ball game on Sunday, and there's a lot to be discussed within the Dallas Cowboys. A lot happened. A lot needs to change for the Cowboys, and they didn't show up, to say the least, on Sunday. They did not score a single touchdown in the game, and it has been a long time since the Cowboys have scored 9 points or less in a ball game, and Sunday was one of those nights. They lost 19-9 to the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs advancing to a 7-4 record now, and Cowboys bumped down to 7-3. You know, I say bumped down, but it's still a good record. But the Cowboys have had problems, you know, showing up in these big time games, and you know, not showing up against the Broncos after they traded away Von Miller, and really had a problem in that game as well. And Cowboys have a quick turnaround as they play that Thanksgiving Day game at 3:30 p.m. against the Raiders, who have struggled since their early season success for the most part, and are, you know, looking to knock off a Cowboys team that, you know, has been wavering a little bit lately, if you could say that at all. One notable thing about you know, the recent losses, you know, aside from the Denver Broncos loss, from Ed Werder here, says a point worth remembering for the Cowboys fans in despair. Dallas is 7-3, and two of those losses are to the last year's Super Bowl teams. So last year's Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the previous Kansas City Chiefs, both Super Bowl teams, are two of the three losses the Dallas Cowboys have this season. Pretty impressive and a good noteworthy thing there from Ed Werder. Both of those were on the road and losses by a combined 12 points, you know, 10-point margin of victory against the Chiefs and just a 2-point against the Tampa Bay Bucks. He says, you're welcome for the perspective. Definitely some good things to notate and to remind you guys, the Dallas Cowboys are without a lot of star power. You know, they didn't have their number one wide receiver, Amari Cooper. They lost CeeDee Lamb in the middle of the game as well. So, you know, when a possible, you know, comeback was, you know, on the horizon, maybe in the second half, they didn't have their, you know, current wide receiver one, which was CeeDee Lamb. So they were looking at a unit of Michael Gallup, Cedric Wilson, you know, Noah Brown and Malik Turner out there. I mean, that's still one of the better, you know, complete wide receiver cores in the NFL. But, you know, yet and still, you know, two of the best wide receivers in the game going down, you know, that's going to affect things a little bit. It's going to make the defensive game plan a little bit easier when those two big targets are not there. But nonetheless, some good things did happen for Dallas, and we want to get to those really quick. Per ESPN stats and info, Micah Parsons is the first player with 60 tackles and 8 sacks in his team's first 10 games of a season since Terrell Suggs in 2013. He is also the first player with 60 tackles and 8 sacks in his first 10 career games since 2000. Micah Parsons making waves. Not only is he basically securing the rookie of defensive rookie of the year, you know, maybe he's starting to put his name in that defensive player of the year conversation. Who knows? There's a lot of people entering that conversation at this point in the year, and his teammate Trayvon Diggs is one of those guys in that conversation. Some stiff competition in that conversation, though, by the way. Parsons' 8 sacks are the most by a Cowboys rookie since, wait for it, drum roll, DeMarcus Ware in 2005. And we know how dynamic DeMarcus Ware was, not only, you know, in his tenure with the Cowboys, but as a total career. You know, he's one of the best. So Dallas Cowboys do have some positives to highlight from that game. But there is one slight question mark, and, you know, I'll leave this open for the public to decide once I mention this. And it's about the replacement at left guard. Connor Williams is a typical starter for Dallas Cowboys, but Connor McGovern was the new starter at left guard. And, you know, not only him, some other players had trouble, you know. I'm trying to remember his name. I think it's Erik Jones. Yeah, I believe that was his name. The disruptive guy that had 3.5 sacks for the Kansas City Chiefs in that ball game against the Cowboys. And, you know, it was really a tough time trying to stop him and to really kind of keep him from doing the damage that he did in the game. So let me double check this man's name. I don't want to get him wrong, but no, it's Chris Jones, not Erik Jones. Sorry. I got you, Chris. If you're listening, you're not. But, you know, It's a question of McGovern. You know, he had 67 snaps at left guard, no penalties, but was he better than Connor Williams? That's the question posed by some Cowboys fans out there. And, you know, it's a worthy question to ask. You know, he didn't have the holding penalties that Connor Williams often has. And, you know, Connor McGovern, he was beat sometimes as well. You know, granted, Chris Jones beat Zach Martin. You know, one exclusive highlight play that we saw that is still replaying in my head right now of when he just, you know, just blew through Zach Martin to get to Dak Prescott for one of those 3.5 sacks. You know, Terrence Steele had a lot of trouble on the left side, which, you know, he's had a fair amount of trouble ever since he was swung over to the left side. You know, jury's still out on whether Connor McGovern played better than Connor Williams. Leo Collins did okay, but, you know, the whole offensive line, for the most part, had some issues, especially with what Chris Jones was doing. You know, very fast defensive tackle bursting through the line, you know, caused a lot of problems for the Dallas Cowboys in the game. So, a lot of things to look at and to clean up for the Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, I tell you what, they sure aren't making excuses for themselves. I would tell you that. You can see a lot of accountability on this Cowboys team, and you often see it after some losses. But one thing I will say, recently reported by John Machota, and it's on the status of C.D. Lamb. VP Stephen Jones said on 105.3 The Fan that C.D. Lamb in concussion protocol is, quote, doing really well and will have an opportunity to play on Thursday. If he were having issues today, then you'd probably be a little leery, but they're optimistic because he's feeling well today. So that is a great sign for Cowboys fans because they will be without Amari Cooper on Thursday for sure. So it would be very key to have C.D. Lamb. And some more news from John Machota. Cowboys expect left tackle Tyron Smith, who's been out with an ankle injury, to play against the Raiders on Thanksgiving. Stephen Jones said, quote, barring some unforeseen setbacks this week, he should be ready to play this Thursday. John says they don't think this is the type of injury that will linger all season. So those are some positive signs from your Dallas Cowboys there. And, you know, something notable, which, you know, I know Stevie J would point to this and a lot of various things surrounding Dak Prescott, because there's been a lot of talk positively, you know, I mean, well, negatively mostly, over the last 24 hours on Dak Prescott. You know, a lot of talk. Dak isn't elite. You know, I saw rooms open on Spotify Green Room today talking literally the title, Dak isn't elite. I mean, you can feel whichever way you want to about that, but, you know, everybody struggles every now and then. And it's not like, you know, these guys weren't playing good football. It's different if, you know, Kansas City Chiefs were just playing really average and, you know, Dak was just playing terrible. You know, Kansas City Chiefs were playing really well and the offensive line struggled. You know, the running game wasn't able to give you a whole lot. You know, you lost your second wide receiver, you know, by halftime. So, I mean, once you try to form a comeback when the second half comes back around, you don't have, you know, a lot of weapons, and your O-line was faltering a lot throughout the game. So it's a mixture of a lot of things as to why Dak Prescott did not play great. You know, you don't want to make excuses for him, but, I mean, it's just how it goes. I mean, some receivers, you know, not open, you know, not good looks to get the ball out. You know, sometimes you look at him and say you wish you'd thrown the ball, and instead of taking, you know, a deep sack or being forced out of bounds before getting to release the ball, you know, he had a fumble. But, you know, Dak is always that quarterback that's going to take accountability for himself. He said, quote, I'm never worried about how this team is going to respond. As long as I'm a part of this team, quarterback of this offense, that's the least of my worries, is how we're going to respond. We're a resilient bunch. We'll be better because of this loss. Dak Prescott, as we noted after the Broncos loss, which led into the Atlanta Falcons game where he played lights out, you know, Dak historically has responded well after a bad game. And it's good. I mean, it's different if you see a continuing trend. Like he continues to play, you know, average or worse over the next few games. Like, but you don't see that from Dak Prescott. He always fixes it. He always seems to fix it. You know, it's something that, you know, I guess nags at him throughout the time between games that, you know, not only does he feel like he has to prove it to himself, but he just has that itch just to prove that, you know, he's working to fix it, and like it will be fixed. Like it's that type of determination. You know, he's not worried about how they're going to respond. This Cowboys team is good. I mean, we're still 7-3. The Dallas Cowboys are still 7-3. So calm down, calm down. We've lost to two recent Super Bowl champions and then had one slip up against a bad team. You don't want me to really get, you want me to get into how many times, you know, a lot of teams around this league have slipped up to bad teams this year. We'd have a decently large list. There was a number of them that actually happened yesterday. So let me go ahead and dive into Mr. Stevie J's Twitter because he put out the pictures for us today. For example, the Green Bay Packers, 34-31 loss to the Minnesota Vikings. We beat the Vikings. It happens. Houston Texans, 22-13 over the Tennessee Titans. Who saw that coming? They had one win before the game started. Next, the Tampa Bay Bucks, 29-19 loss to the Washington Football Team. Ugh. And last but not least, another mediocre team beating a really good one. And, you know, mind you, not all these are in, you know, not all this happened yesterday, but just the course of the season. Carolina Panthers, 34-10 victory over the Arizona Cardinals. You know, all these teams that I'm mentioning to you guys are the best teams, some of the best teams in football. You know, Green Bay Packers, I believe they're second in the NFC. Tennessee Titans, you know, people were talking about them as, you know, people had them projected to get to the Super Bowl and win it. 8-3, good team. Obviously, we know about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 6-3, Super Bowl champs. You know, they have some injuries on their roster. They're not fully healthy, but, I mean, they're still one of the better teams in football, too. And you don't want to bet against Tom Brady, but, you know, losses happen every now and then. It's not like you shouldn't have expected this Cowboys team to have a perfect season. Definitely shouldn't. But, I mean, even teams that have perfect seasons, you know, they can falter, you know, at the end. That New England Patriots team that went undefeated all the way to the Super Bowl, and then Eli Manning took them down. It happens. And the Arizona Cardinals, I mean, you know, losing to the Panthers like that by 24, I mean, it happens. And, you know, You talk about losses like this, and, you know, they won this past Sunday with Colt McCoy leading the way. So, I mean, it happens on both ends. Like, you know, the good teams end up losing, you know, fully tooled or not. And then teams that are not as fully healthy and have to use things like backup quarterbacks, you know, like Colt McCoy instead of Kyler Murray, can come away with wins, big-time wins. So, you know, those things happen. Those things happen. And, you know, it's just not something to be overly concerned about when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. You know, maybe in the past when we were, you know, heading towards 8-8, like it's just, you'd be like, oh, it's one of those years again. Well, I don't think it's one of those years. You can feel however you want to feel, but this is where I stand on the topic at hand. You know, hearing some words from, and now I want to take note of some of the positive things that, you know, you heard from Kansas City's side about, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, some players in specific, and some things that Andy Reid said. I do want to note first from Andy Reid. Chiefs coach Andy Reid from John Machota says, you know, mentioning all the Cowboys fans at Arrowhead Stadium in yesterday's game. He said, quote, "The crowd was phenomenal. There was a lot of blue in there, and we didn't hear them, so my hat goes off to the red. It was a beautiful thing." So Cowboys tried to show up in Kansas City. I actually knew some people that were out of that game. So Cowboys tried to show up and make a difference. Patrick Mahomes on Micah Parsons says, "Micah Parsons is a, quote, special player. To be that good of a linebacker and to be able to play defensive end, there's not a lot of guys like that in this league. He has a high motor. He chased me down on that sack the whole game. He was in there the whole time battling." You know, it's big time when you hear from some of the best in the league talking about, you know, your young players. And, you know, crazy thinking about, you know, back to the draft when we were hunting for a cornerback and, you know, we end up with this really special linebacker. Like, where would we be? Like, think about that right now. You know, we are a good team and everything, and You know, surely that cornerback would have been a big time help. But you think about what we've been dealing with, you know, got rid of Jalen Smith, Jabril Cox injury. Where would we be defensively and all the other injuries, Randy Gregory, DeMarcus Lawrence, if Micah Parsons wasn't here to help pace the defense? Like, yeah, Leighton Vander Esch is still healthy this year, and we have some other players who are really helping out, Osa Odighizuwa. But without Micah Parsons, where would this defense be aside from Trayvon Diggs out there right now? You would be worried, like beyond worried, going into that Kansas City Chiefs game. Like, it's definitely something to worry about too. And like, it's not something to take for granted when you think about what Micah Parsons has been bringing to the table throughout all these injuries. And, you know, his versatility has just been, you know, it's been phenomenal. In a quote from Parsons from after the game, another piece from Machota, most of these are coming from Machota today. Micah Parsons doesn't think he's come close to reaching his potential. Quote, I'm just hungry. I think it's just been glimpses. I don't think I've found my true self yet. End quote. That's big time. You know the way he's impressing right now. And you know, for the most part, we all know this. You know, he's raw in the league, and he's impressing the way that he is right now. He's going to have a long career ahead of him, and we can expect some, you know, Pro Bowl and plenty of All-Pro selections on the horizon for Micah Parsons going forward. When it comes to Thursday's game, just a quick highlight ahead of that one. Cowboys they open as a 7-point favorite against the Raiders going into Thursday's game. And it is worth noting that the Las Vegas Raiders did recently get clapped up by the Cincinnati Bengals yesterday in a 32-13 loss. So, you know, they're now sitting at 5-5, right at 500 on the season. You know, they're trying to come back into Thursday's game and bring some fire as well. But, and maybe it's just me, I think the Cowboys are going to come with a bit more fire because they haven't seen a Thursday Thanksgiving win since 2018. They won 31-23 against the, I believe it was the Washington football team. So they're 8-1 all time against Washington on Thanksgiving when they play, but they're not playing Washington this time. So we'll see what the Raiders have to bring this time around. So it's been a couple of years since the Cowboys won on Thanksgiving. See if that changes this Thursday. Now let's go ahead and shift some gears into some Dallas Mavericks discussion. The Dallas Mavericks have been without Luka Doncic for the past few games, and it has not gone well since they lost him. They played the Phoenix Suns back-to-back, Wednesday matchup and a Friday matchup, and then played Sunday against the LA Clippers, someone that they have met in the playoffs the previous couple of seasons. And they have lost all three of those matchups. Worth noting, they haven't lost by double digits in any of those games, which is a good sign, but yet and still, they haven't won. And there is an unfortunate statistic, and I mustered this one up myself just to kind of garnish and see where we were at. I mean, it's not the true root of the problem, but it definitely has not helped us. And you would think that, you know, if he plays any bit better, you know, shoots any bit more efficiently than he did in this game, then the Dallas Mavericks might have been able to come away with a win in at least one of these three contests. The statistic that I'm here to give you is about Mr. Tim Hardaway Jr. Here we go. This is combined numbers here. Tim Hardaway Jr. has shot just 18 for 56, 32% from the field, and 6 for 22, 27% in Luka Doncic's three-game absence. Yikes. Most recently, a 2 for 12 performance against the LA Clippers. You know, obviously, that's not the entire source of the problem. And, you know, anybody who's watched these games for the Dallas Mavericks have known that it's not the entire problem. Has it not helped? Obviously, but it's not the whole reason. You know, there's been lack of contribution down the entire roster. And there's been question of why, you know, some players aren't even seeing the floor in these three losses. Jalen Brunson has played well. You know, it was the first time he's had this much pressure on his shoulders playing, you know, 35 plus minutes a game. You know, essentially being the only one to truly run the point guard out there aside from some Frank Ntilikina minutes. But, you know, Jalen Brunson has played well. Porzingis has played pretty well aside from a little bit of inefficiency. Probably, I believe it was the second game against the Phoenix Suns where he shot about 35%, which is less than exciting. But those two have played well. But, you know, up and down, the Mavericks have some things to work on. You know, not getting a whole lot of contributions from Reggie Bullock, you know, off the bench, you know, playing 32 minutes, not giving you any points against the LA Clippers. What's up with that? Maxi Kleber in his first game back, seeing 20 minutes, only giving you 5 points and about four rebounds. Trey Burke seeing 13 minutes, just 4 points. You know, not a lot from Dwight Powell in his 19 minutes of play as a starter. You know, a lot of energy, which, you know, I guess that's the reason he sees a lot of playing time. Otherwise, I don't see why he sees as much as he does. Gave you 9 points and 5 rebounds, 1 assist. But, you know, you can't have Tim Hardaway Jr. out there with 36 minutes only giving you 8 points. I mean, he gave you 5 assists and 6 rebounds, but Tim Hardaway Jr. is on this team to get buckets. You know, plain and simple. Plain and simple. Tim Hardaway Jr. is here to get you buckets. And he hasn't been doing that, and I don't know what's up with that. You know, you give him the money in the offseason, you see how well he's played over his seasons here in Dallas, and, you know, expect him to produce on at least semi-regular level. But you're not getting that from Timmy, and you're not getting any bit of efficiency from him. He hasn't shot well all season long, to be honest with you, and it's kind of concerning. And, you know, frankly, you know, I came across this morning, and it's a story from Sports Illustrated, and it's talking about why aren't the Mavericks, you know, really kind of going down their bench and giving players like Moses Brown some minutes? Why not play Moses Brown at the center position? And, you know, all the questions surrounding it are, you know, just that people don't think he's very good, or that he's good enough, or that he's ready. I mean, like, how else do you gain experience in this league without playing? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he's got to see some floor time. He's definitely serviceable. He's not going to play any worse than Willie Cauley-Stein or Dwight Powell. You know, there's no reason to not see him on the floor. Like, why sign a young player like that to just not truly develop him? And the most kind of noteworthy, kind of irritating thing about it is, you know, early in the season leading up to training camp, Jason Kidd assured that the Dallas Mavericks would focus on player development. Maybe what he meant by player development was, you know, that brief stint where he sent Moses Brown and Josh Green to play for the Texas Legends, where Josh Green got like 25-5 and Moses Brown saw 23-16 in the game and then brought them back up. Is that what he meant by development? I guess, you know, maybe that's a sly way Jason Kidd actually meant it. But we're thinking, you know, these guys are going to see some minutes, you know, especially in, you know, games that we're losing. Like, there's no reason not to try and get these guys some experience out on the floor. So Moses Brown has only seen 18 minutes in 6 games. And, you know, just a question continues to pose in my mind. Why trade for a young center if you don't play him? In his time with Oklahoma City, he had a 23-rebound game. You know, obviously Moses Brown is not a polished player. But, you know, Jason Kidd is continually putting out Cauley-Stein, which, you know, players like Cauley-Stein and Dwight Powell are at their peak. They're not going to get any more developed or any better than where they're at right now. If they would have, we would have seen it already. And, you know, after the injury that Dwight Powell has suffered recently this past year, you know, you didn't see him doing much, you know, climbing up the ladder as far as his skill set anyway. And Willie Cauley-Stein, you know, he doesn't have any bit of an offensive game, you know, nothing you can really rely on. You know, in this 3-game stretch, you did see him pull up a little mid-range jumper. You even saw him shoot a 3 and make it, which was, it was just concerning that he pulled it up at all. Either him or Dwight Powell, you know, pulling up for jump shots is concerning whenever I see it. But it's the fact that, you know, you keep hearing Brown is not ready. Like, well, maybe he could present something that the Mavericks haven't you know, brought as far as an X factor at the center position. We haven't had a stable center in ages. And, you know, once we had one, you know, that we thought we could keep for a while back when we had a little bit of Lob City vibes with J.J. Barea tossing it to Brandon Wright when he was here for those days. We haven't seen really anything since. You know, not that Brandon Wright was any, you know, centerpiece, center moving forward or anything like that, but he was serviceable at the time that he was here. But meanwhile, you know, Moses Brown, he could do wonders for this team if you give him the chance. Like, you know, simply playing Dwight Powell because he brings energy is just, it's just pointless. It's pointless to have him out there. No offense, Dwight Powell, bro, but your skill set and what you bring to the Mavericks, like, you don't need to be a starter. You know, energy is not enough to give you, give you as many minutes as you get on this team. And, you know, Cauley Stein, you can't sit there and, you know, have Moses Brown and Cauley Stein and tell me a lot of things or anything that Cauley Stein does better than Moses Brown right now. Like, what? Please explain it. Please explain it. So, you know, while we're just going to sit back and, you know, have to wait and see if Jason Kidd, you know, kind of, digs down in there and, you know, tosses Moses Brown in there and be like, you know, let's see what happens. You know, I don't see what, you know, what that would hurt to even give that a try. But, you know, it just remains to be seen on what Jason Kidd is going to do as far as developing those young players. And now it's time in the episode for our Mavs margin of victory. Stevie J may not be present today, but I did manage to get a hold of him to get his selections on his Mavs margin of victory pick so that we can continue that into next week. So we, like I said, won't be here this Thursday, but we will be back next Monday for another edition of Crunch Time. But for now, I did get Stevie J's votes. Mavs only see two games, actually, over this next week. Of course, you know, the Thanksgiving break has something to do with that as well. But, you know, they face the Clippers on Tuesday tomorrow, and they face the Wizards on Saturday. I will be at that Wizards game, so I'll have some additional analysis for you guys on Monday when we get back for another episode of Crunch Time. But for this, we have some picks from Stevie J. And for anybody who's new to our Mavs margin of victory, we make selections of picks of a Mavs victory between 1 and 4 points, 5 to 9 points, 10 to 14 points, and a 15-plus point blowout. So, without further ado, Clippers game tomorrow, Mavs at Clippers. Stevie J is going to take 5 to 9 points margin of victory for the Dallas Mavericks over the Clippers. I'm actually not going to be as generous, and especially with a questionable Luka Doncic. Don't know whether he's going to play or not, but, you know, still a possibility. Mavs could win either way. I'm going to be a little bit more conservative, which I've been mostly conservative throughout the year because Mavs just haven't instilled confidence in me like that. I'm going to go 1-4 points for the LA Clipper game. If we get the victory, it'll be a close one. Maybe game-deciding bucket. Maybe we take it into OT or something. You know, Kristaps has a great game. You know, maybe Timmy finally shows up for Dallas without Luka here. You know, just shows up, period. He hasn't shot well throughout the season so far. So that's also a part of the Mavs struggles. But I've got 1-4. Stevie J has 5-9 against the LA Clippers. Mavs host the Wizards on Saturday. Wizards playing some improved basketball this season atop the Eastern Conference, not number one, but in the top three or four, playing really well. You know, Montrezl Harrell on his way to possibly another Sixth Man of the Year award, the way he's coming and producing off of the bench. So Mavs hosting the Wizards on Saturday. Stevie J once again taking the 5-9. Got a generous margin there. You know, hopefully you very much assume you have Luka Doncic, you know, back by the weekend. That would be extremely good for the Mavericks. So maybe if you're the Dallas Mavericks, you sit Luka tomorrow just to have him nice and healthy and ready to go after the holiday on Saturday against the Wizards. I'm going to take the 1-4 once again. I think especially if, you know, just depending on rhythm for the Mavericks, you know, whether we've got Luka back or not, Got players readjusting to their roles. You know, Luka trying to, you know, get back in where he fits in as a superstar player. So I just think it's going to be tight. You know, we're going to just be trying to get our footing back and get wins under our belt again, because the 3-game losing streak is, you know, kind of hurtful in the Western Conference. You got to break that streak at some point. I think if we don't carry it and beat the Clippers, it'll be on Saturday when we get past the Wizards, hopefully, in that game. So 1-4 points on the Wizards game for me, 5-9 for Stevie J. Unfortunately, current records stand at 4-12 for me in the Mavs margin of victory, and 3-13 for Stevie J. If you take away the wins, I'm 4-5, and Stevie J is 3-6. Doesn't sound as bad, but you know, we like to keep it in perspective and have the full record there. But yeah, there goes your Mavs margin of victory picks for this edition of Crunch Time. No bad takes. Well, actually, you know, since we're not doing a Thursday episode, you know, let me go ahead and give you these bad takes that I had saved for Thursday, not even thinking that we weren't going to be doing that episode. So let me get those bad takes for you really quick, because I came across a couple of them. I will give you at least one. So, see what we got here. Ah, yes. From the guy you've seen in headlines recently, Mr. Scottie Pippen. This one is coming from NBA Central, at the NBA Central on Twitter. It's just quoting Scottie Pippen, so it's really a Scottie Pippen bad take. Scottie Pippen says it's, quote, hard to call Tom Brady the greatest football player ever. I'm like, when you hear that so far, I'm like, okay, do you just favor someone else? Let's see where this one's going. And here's where the turn takes. He says, quote, is he playing on every side of the football? Is he on kickoff? Is he on the punt return? Because if he ain't playing all the roles, then he got to give credit to his team. Oh, boy. Oh, man. It doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that, Scotty. Scotty just calling out all the big names to get in the headlines. I don't know. He was trying to promote whatever he's trying to promote right now, or just continuing to say some wild things that he said over the course of his retired career, but it's not a great take. It's not really. It's only hard if you legitimately, you know, have a case of like a Joe Montana, you know, Aaron Rodgers, someone else that just like makes it debatable. You know, otherwise it's not really hard for a lot of people. Like, he's a great quarterback. You know, he's got the most Super Bowls. You know, he's proving it time and time again. He won without Bill Belichick. So I mean, Tom Brady's got a pretty good case, but you know, I digress. Scottie Pippen, it's a bad take. That's gonna do it for this edition of Crunch Time with Drew and Stevie J. Guys, make sure you go follow us on Twitter. My at is Uncle Drew WNBA, and he's Stevie J PTX. Want to wish you happy holidays and a happy Thanksgiving going into Thursday, where we would have a typical episode. But you know, happy holidays, everyone. Enjoy your time with your family. We will catch you on Monday for another edition of Crunch Time with Drew and Stevie J.